Hello everyone and welcome back to our last club preview series. It is time to talk about the premiers of 2024, the North Melbourne Tasmanian Women Kangaroos. I am very ably joined by my co-host Will. Will, how are you going?
I am fantastic, Jono. Very excited to be talking about the reigning premiers, as you say. I mean, what a team. What a team.
Yeah. Unbelievable finish. I can't believe that we've seen a team go undefeated throughout the year. And the vibe at that grand final was just incredible. I'm so happy that the North supporters finally got their dues.
Yeah, would have loved to have been there, but unfortunately I was struck down with illness on the night. It was horrible. But yes, fantastic victory. Well deserved by North Melbourne. They were formidable to watch last year. They were just so, so good as a football team. I mean, as you said, they're undefeated. Having said that, they did not win every game. And as a Geelong supporter, I can very proudly say that they were the only team that managed to take points off North Melbourne with their round two draw. But their percentage of 315 kind of tells you the story. Their defense was impenetrable. Their midfield was dominant and they scored points at will. They were the whole package, basically. They were incredibly strong across every line, and even the Brisbane team that beat them in the grand final the previous year struggled to get near them, and they were the rightful premiers, as we said. So well done to North Melbourne. They're going to be hard to beat again, and let's be honest, in the off-season, they've basically just got stronger. They've picked up Amy Gavin-Mangan in the draft alongside Claire Marnie, but the trades was where it was super interesting. So Ariana Hetherington, a really good utility coming over from Fremantle, will provide some ruck support, but can play at either end of the ground. But the big bombshell of the trade period was All-Australian midfielder and defender Eilish Sheeran, friend of the pod, requesting a trade from Richmond to North Melbourne. She got there and just adds to an already incredibly strong list.
Yeah, unbelievable that they've landed her. I mean, This is unexpected to say the least. There are so many questions that come about from this trade. The first question of all being, where on earth is she going to fit into this team? Because it's not a team that you look at and you go, oh, you know, they're missing a dashing halfback or, you know, a bustling half forward or, you know, even an inside midfielder. It's going to be interesting to see where she lines up.
It sure is. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but yeah, they've also managed to basically keep most of that list together, which is the impressive thing. Often after a flag, you get a few retirees and things like that. But they've lost two players through the trade period. Liz McGrath heading over to West Coast for a bit more opportunity, basically replaced her one for one with Ariana Hetherington. And Lulu Pullar, who heads up to Sydney, a defensive winger. So basically, they've just replaced the two players, arguably with two better players, which is a really impressive feat. And they've also delisted Lucy Burke, Sophie Kavanagh, and Zoe Savera-Ryan. So, yeah, it's an incredibly strong list, this one, and they will go into this campaign very, very strong favourites to go back-to-back.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be interesting to see how any team can try and pull them back. But, you know, North are going to keep striving to stay ahead of the comp, and to that end, I think time to hear from the club themselves. Our co-host Liam has sat down with North Melbourne superstar Bella Eddy to talk through how the Roos are going to attack 2025 to defend their premiership crown. Let's jump over to that now.
Yep, thanks guys. That you are absolutely right. I am very, very ably joined and very lucky to be joined today by Bella Eddy from the North Melbourne Tasmania Football Club. Bella, thank you for jumping on. How's pre-season looking at the moment?
No worries, Liam. Thank you for having me. Pre-season's looking real good, actually. It's funny, someone was asking me about it the other day and about, is it really hard? And I was like, oh God, after 5 years, you actually do get a little bit used to it because you know what to expect, all the hard running and shuttle runs that no one likes. But it's definitely easier now than when I was 18, that's for sure. But we've got a great group down there at the moment, and obviously coming off the flag, everyone's up and about, and I guess I don't think there's any signs of a premiership hangover at the moment. Everyone's raring to go.
Yeah, that's super exciting. It's almost like you've actually read my question sheet, because the next two things I wanted to talk about was the premiership and the fact. I'll go to the other one, though, which is you've been at the club for 5 years. And am I right in thinking you've never missed a game?
Yes, I have been awfully close quite a few times to missing a game, but I've never actually missed one. No, I've played every game since I got there. I don't know how, because I definitely should have been dropped. I've had a very funny conversation with the coach about that. Definitely should have been dropped in my first year, but got a bit lucky. And now that's paid dividends, just getting that experience of playing consistent games, you know, how you deal with your pre-game, the things that you need to do, how you deal with game day, all that stuff now I feel is really paying off. So I'm very fortunate. Yeah, I played a final once with COVID, so I was pretty close there to miss, but just got in.
That's pretty spectacular. Yeah, I was like, yeah, when did you get drafted? Okay, yeah, cool. Hang on, let me keep – there's not a single game. I double checked it because I didn't want to rock up like misinformed. But I think that consistency year to year, game to game, and that constant improvement, I think that might be the case for North as well. But even just like looking at your draft class, you've now played in the same forward line and Alice O'Loughlin as who was a draft class teammate. I think North have only had two coaches in their lifetime as well. Is that something that you think has kind of contributed to this success over the like last 2.5 seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. As I've been there 5 years, I've only ever had Croc. So anyone who's been there the past 5 years only had Croc as their head coach, and our line coaches really and our assistants have stayed quite stable. So we've been super lucky, and I definitely think that does help just with your game plan, especially the head coach. You know, so if your head coach is always changing, you know, they'd probably have each one would have their own thing they'd want to change and how we play. But, you know, we've only just won the flag. It's taken 5 years with the same coach. So it's taken 5 years for us to really solidify that game plan, get everyone understanding their roles, have us execute it so well. And really, some people say that we probably should have done it sooner with the list that we have and all those kind of things. But, yeah, I definitely think having Croc there and having that stability has gone a long way. And now we're kind of reaping those rewards and hopefully can capitalise a bit on the work we've done.
Yeah, and I think it would be cruel to say you should have done it before. But I think what I want to know is, was winning last year as good as you expected it or imagined it to be, given how close you guys had got being up at three-quarter time the year before?
Yeah, it definitely was. It was so special on the night to obviously do that. You know, when you come into the system, obviously there's lots of little milestones. You try to kick off getting a game, blah, blah, blah. But everyone's ultimate goal is to win the premiership, which you try everything you do is just for that. So to get it done was, yeah, really special. And it really was. When the final goes, it's exactly how you imagine it to be. Just complete, like, elation, pride, bit of relief and all those kind of things. In our celebrations, I think the next day after everything had, you know, calmed a bit and it settled in a little bit more what we'd done, it got quite emotional for a bit there, just because, yeah, it had taken 5 years to be on this journey and with obviously lost the year before and been really close, and there'd been all this chatter about us, and internally we never spoke about that stuff too much, but obviously it's things that you think about and you know we're so close and we can do it, and yeah, it takes a bit of a toll. So to finally get it done, yeah, it was awesome. And now it's funny because, yeah, life, we were talking about it the other day, life kind of does just go on. And now when you look back, you're like, that was a really great time. It was a great shared memory, but it's happened now. And your life doesn't change that much after the fact, but it's definitely a great memory to look back on. And the only way to feel that way again is to do it again. So we start again on that journey.
Yeah, I once had a coach when I was at junior level tell us after we'd made a grand final and won that the sprints are going to hurt just as much next year. So, you know, don't get ahead of yourselves. And I think that's kind of a pretty apt summation of what it must be like. I want to ask you a few questions about Croc, because he seems like such an incredible generator of consistent improvement amongst the playing group. And I think that's kind of shown over the last three seasons. If you were to try and say, like, what is it about him and the way he operates that means that North's game plan, North's rotations, North's defensive structures, North players' growth is able to be so consistent and so predictable?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's probably a tough one to answer. I think it's a culmination of some really good coaching. Croc is so system-based. We are so well educated. We do so much game education. There's so much opportunity to learn, to get better, whether that's on track, seeing vision. So as a team, we're super clear in what your role should be, and there's so much clarity around that. And then as an individual, it's kind of on an individual to then go out and do your best to really understand that and grow your game and get better so that you can implement it. But I think across the board, we're just so well drilled in what we should be doing. And when that message stays the same year on year, it's super easy to kind of build your game. And this year, say for me, small forward, nailed for the ball. So next year, I don't need to worry about that. So what can I add now to my game so that I can keep just getting better? And probably just happening across the board at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm kind of doing research for this, kind of looking at your stats over the last five seasons. I thought it was pretty remarkable that it's just a steady improvement and growth purely from a statistical point of view, but then also seeing the way that the small forward group at North was really able to gel and look to be able to capitalise. You know, North in 2023 had a great midfield and sometimes struggled to convert the kind of inside 50s into scoring. And then that issue completely disappeared and it became your number one calling card last year. Is that something that you yourself feel like is going to be a kind of core part of the way that you play kind of going forward? Even if Croc were to step away, that's going to be something you're going to strive for the rest of your career?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think, yeah, as you said, early days, the midfield was really, really up there kind of carrying a bit and scoring a lot of our goals, to be honest. And then, as you said, it just kind of flipped one year and now it's really great to see that most of the goals are coming from our forward line. So I think across the board, just as we kind of mentioned, that consistent growth in everyone, we've become less reliant on our star players. And I think that's what's really elevated us to where we are now. But I think moving forward, our game plan's so solid. And I think the club's got such a great program set up that I think, yeah, there's lots of inroads made for the future that even when a new coach, which will eventually happen, obviously, in my time, steps in, that all things are still going well, there wouldn't be too much reason to change. So I hope so. And I think we can keep the core group together for as long as possible, particularly the younger ones that we have, like Alice and Taylor Gatt, Ruby Tripodi, those kind of Tess Craven. If we can all stay together, then hopefully, yeah, we'll just take the group forward, just kind of be seamless, pass the baton on and things roll on, hopefully. Obviously, that's in the most ideal world, but we'll see.
Look, absolutely trust you guys to do that. And I want to make it fundamentally clear, I was not suggesting or predicting that Croc is minutes away from retiring. I'm more just trying to think about your career as a footballer. I think then that kind of leads me to the next one. And it's kind of some of the additions you guys have had in this offseason. I'd say the first and biggest name is Ailish Sheeran. She is someone that has kind of excited her. She's only been around for three seasons and has shown herself to be a bit of a weapon and a trump card that operates a little differently. My big question, though, is I would say that the toughest 21 to break into is North. Where is she going to play and how has she gone kind of integrating into the group so far this preseason?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great pickup for us to get Ailish. She's obviously accomplished a lot in her short career and being her teammate now, I can see why. She's super driven. She's integrated into the group seamlessly, really. She's an absolute weapon, like physically running and in the gym. She's, yeah, an absolute weapon. So it's been cool to see that and you know, try to follow those standards. But she's been training a bit off the half-back line, a couple of stints through the midfield, as quite a few of us do with low numbers and all that kind of thing. And, you know, it's the best way to, if you need to work on your contested ball, often you'll get a feature through there. I think, as I said, it's a very tough 21 to crack into, so I've got absolutely no idea. I've got no doubt that she'll feature, probably, but, yeah, where that'll be is left to be seen, but wherever she is, I know she'll do an absolute great job. We've started, pre-season's ramped up now, starting some match sim, and, yeah, you can really see how she's going to add so much value to our side.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating to see where she lines up, even just for that pre-season game against Essendon out in Werribee for some reason. I don't know who was responsible for that choice, but that's going to be a fascinating one to watch. And the other one that I have had some inside word has looked extremely accomplished is Tessa Boyd. How do you think she's gone? Is she someone we're going to see round one? Which would be, you know, a bit of a coup given that she hasn't been on an AFLW list in 4 or 5 years, I think.
Yeah, Boydie's been an absolute steal of a pickup. When I heard that we were getting her, I was very excited because I've had actually watched her quite a lot in VFLW and thought she was a ripper player, and she's accomplished quite a lot down in the VFLW. So to get her has been a great get, and again, she's fitted in seamlessly. She's a top person quality. But yeah, she's doesn't look out of place one bit at training on the footy field. I know that I've spoken to a few of the forwards who would regularly play on her at the moment, and they've been saying that she's a very difficult matchup. So I'd definitely be expecting to see her when in the season that is. I have absolutely no idea. I wouldn't be surprised if she was there in round one though. But yeah, she's been awesome. So I'm really excited for her. Obviously, she's been off AFLW list for a long time and worked really hard, and was a bit unsure if she even wanted to get back, but she's done the right thing for herself and decided the time is right and the place is right. So super exciting for her.
Very exciting to see, having kind of read a little bit more since she's come to North about her story. So again, I, like you, will be very keen to see her play and slot in. The kind of final component of the new players, it's obviously your draftees, and then, as is classic North at the moment, is the Irish contingent not settled enough with having Vicky Wall, the battering ram, and Erica O'Shea. You've got Avy Gavan Magnan or Mangan, I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce, and Blaine Bogue. We obviously didn't get to see Blaine last season, and then obviously Amy's new this year. How do you think they're going to integrate into that lineup? I think Croc has shown himself to be someone who uses that structure well, and then gives these Irish players who are problem solvers in the most chaotic and entertaining way to really break open your game plan and become unpredictable.
Yeah, they're definitely unpredictable, that's for sure. Sometimes when we play such a system, sometimes we're like, what are you doing? But they make the game so chaos, and they add so much value to our side in that manner because they're so creative and they're also fast and powerful. So I think, yeah, they're so much fun to play with, to be honest. And Blaheen and Amy, yeah, they're doing really well. Blaheen's really taken a big step up from last year, just in terms of her professionalism, the way she's going about training. She's been training really, really well. I think, yeah, I hope for her sake she gets a feature. She's been working really hard and she's got a lot to offer. She's got a great little agility sidestep, which is always funny when she breaks a few ankles at training. But and Amy, I think it's Amy Gavan Mangan, I believe is how you say it. She's been absolutely awesome. She's probably, yeah, she's trained the lights out actually. She's been super impressive, super switched on, asking so many questions, training really well, taking the full opportunity. Probably, I would say, no disrespect to any of the Irish who have come out, but she's probably one of the most prepared that I've seen from the get-go, that's come out from Ireland. So, kudos to her.
That is fascinating, particularly given I think you North has possibly the most insane jump off the plane to play game story with Vicky Wall, given what she landed on a Tuesday and was playing a preseason game on a Saturday. So the fact that she can compete with that is going to be pretty impressive. That's a lofty standard.
Yeah, absolutely. We love Vicky, and she's the ultimate professional, which is why she can step off the plane and play on the weekend, obviously, because she's over there playing rugby sevens and doing her thing, and she's just the ultimate competitor. So we've got full faith in Vicky, and I know the girls will be very excited for when she comes back, and maybe not so excited to match him if you're on the other team. But yeah, we love Vicky.
Well, funnily enough, I had written some rapid fire questions, and one of them that I do have written is, would you rather A, cop a don't argue from Vicky Wall, or B, get a stare down from Emma Carney for not passing to the right person?
That's yeah. I'll take. Oh, honestly, I don't want any of those situations. But I'd probably. God, yeah. I know. I've seen when you see Vicky just out there absolutely bulldozing people over. I don't think that I want that to happen to me. So I reckon I'll go with the Carney stare down because I've built a good enough relationship with her now. I reckon that I could cop that one on the chin as long as it wasn't her that I pied with the ball. I think if it was someone else.
So it's just when she's pointed and told you where to kick and it's not to her, then you might survive. Otherwise, it's touch and go.
Oh, I might survive. If it was meant to go to her, maybe not.
It's always hilarious watching her sit behind the play. She's just like orchestrating the entire thing, sprinting everywhere. It's always entertaining to watch. And she was one of the first interviews I ever did for a North player and or any AFLW player. And my word, composed but intimidating, I think is the easiest way to describe what it's like.
Yeah, when I first rocked up for training when I was 18, I was very, very scared. But once you crack her now, like we've got such a great relationship. She's been awesome for me. We're super close. She's actually a giant teddy bear. Once you crack that, she's just the biggest teddy bear. So lovely, so generous with her time. So, it's quite funny.
That is excellent, and glad to hear that it's such a tight-knit group at North Melbourne. Well, Bella, that has been kind of all the questions bar one that I've got for you today, and thank you so much for coming on. But the most important question that we ask everybody that we interview: who is the player to watch for a breakout in 2025? Obviously throwing a lot of names at you that are new this season, but would love to know who you think is the breakout candidate.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Tess Craven. I think Tess Craven's my breakout candidate for us this year. She's come back so fit, put in a mountain of work in the off season. She's looking more confident than she ever has before. I think she's gonna have an absolute ripper year out there on the wing. So I back her in, and also not necessarily a breakout year, but Nicole Bresnahan's been training really, really well. At the moment, and I think she's going to be back to her absolute best form after just overcoming a few little injuries over the past couple of years. I think she's looking really good and be back to her best, rebounding off the half back line as well, which I'm super happy for her about.
That's awesome. We interviewed Tessa last year. Lovely person. Will be great to see her go to the next level. And, always good to hear that there's more talent coming off halfback, as though North didn't have enough already. All right, Bella, thank you so much for jumping on. We hope you have an awesome season. Cheers.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me, Liam. Thank you.
Ooh, thanks for that, Liam, and thank you, Bella Eddy. Always lovely to hear from the club. Will, what do you make of that interview?
I mean, we said it before, but there's such an organized unit, and it basically just sounds like they're not resting on their laurels. They want to go back to back, and I think it's going to be a tough ask for anyone to stop them, really. And yeah, I really do think that this team has just got stronger in the off season, which is a really worrying sign for the rest of the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. They are stacked with superstars across every line, and of course, it barely gets bigger than the first superstar on your top five fantasy picks for 2025. Will, who is your number one option for North Melbourne?
Yeah, my number one option for North Melbourne, Jazzy Garner, best on ground in the grand final last year, arguably the game's best player. She's the second highest averaging player in the competition, and what's quite impressive about that is she's still priced at $400,000 less than the next highest. We've talked a bit about Ebony Marinoff in recent episodes. You may have heard that name before, but Jazz Garner, incredible player, just been named the skipper. Averaged 112.6 last year. There's no reason she won't average 110 again. She's an expensive player, but if you are one of the people who's brave and not going for Ebony Marinoff, I would say she's probably a must. And even if you are going for Marinoff, a 1-2 punch of Garner and Marinoff is going to set you up pretty well.
Yeah, there are a few talented players in the game as far as Garner. She's very, very impressive. I have a lot of questions on role, but I think I'm actually going to save up all these questions until after we have discussed the second player on your list. Will, can you tell us who that might be?
Yes, the second player on my list is the points per minute queen herself, Ashra Dell. Again, averaged 110.6 last year, fourth highest averaging player. Another 110 season, once again, very, very possible. Though, one of the questions I'm sure that is sticking in your mind is they've got so many great players. They've got so many players that can run through that midfield. Are we going to see some more rotation, things like that? Who knows? But Riddell's ability to rack up the football, get possessions, is second to none in the competition. Even if she's not averaging above 110, she's pretty much always going to be good for 100 average. So those two are once again going to be in that, top 5 to 8 player bracket in the competition.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They're so reliable every season, and then they basically can play roles across the ground. But I do want to ask you a little bit about this midfield mix because, Jazz Garner and Ashra Dell were some of the most consistent midfielders we saw last season, alongside players like Mia King in that midfield. Ruby Tripodi got a lot of time. I'm really wondering, we're seeing the introduction of Isla Sheeran, and we're also, I think, Jenna Brewton had come back from that Achilles injury that she'd suffered in the grand final the previous season. I think she was coming back a little underdone, and they didn't want to run through that midfield. I'm wondering how many of these players are going to be running through and whether or not Garner and Riddell are going to be having either less time on ground, less time in the middle. What do you make of that rotation?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting one because Bruton is one that is quite an interesting one because she was a very high CBA player that sort of got pushed a bit to the outer. What was interesting last year is North actually had possibly one of the tightest centre bounce groups. Basically, it was always going to be Rennie, Riddell, Garner, and Mia King. And then there were only two other midfielders who actually ran through the centre bounces. It was Ruby Tripodi, who was basically the only other one for most games. And then in three games, for a total of six centre bounce attendances, was our interviewee Bella Eddy. No other midfielder got a run in the midfield last year. There's a bit of a change in the ruck, which will be an interesting thing. Like Emma King and Kim Rennie swapped up a bit. Talia Randall took a hit out. But basically, the centre-bounce combination was really, really set. And so I don't imagine Darren Crocker will want to change his setup that much. But yet, as you said, Isla Shear, an incredible player, played mostly through the midfield for Richmond last year. Jenna Bruton getting back to full fitness after an Achilles injury. I think they'll have a bit more rotation this year, but I think that in particular King, Riddell and Garner are probably pretty safe in there.
Yeah, I definitely think that Riddell isn't going anywhere. She's one of the best inside under players you can find in the competition. Jazz Garner is one to me that could be an interesting watch because she's got that capability to go forward and be so damaging. Obviously, she's damaging wherever she plays. But I would have thought if you're going to put anyone forward in a game where you think you're going to get it out of the middle anyway, maybe she'll spend some periods down there.
I think that's a big chance. And I think that Riddell and Mia King are basically going to be in at every single centre bounce. I think they'll be pretty certain. But what we did see a bit last year was Garner, after that centre bounce, did drift a bit forward, was powerful on the lead, a good contested mark. I think there's a chance that that'll happen again this year. To me, I'm not too worried about it affecting her scoring because North get it in the forward line a lot and she's pretty bloody good. And what we've seen is that when she drifts forward, she might sacrifice two or three disposals, but instead she gets marks and goals. So I'm not too worried about Jazz Garner's scoring. I think that, you know, you might say if she plays 20% more time forward, she might drop her average down to 105. But I wouldn't be too worried about Jazz Garner. I think she's just too good a player to drop a significant amount of points.
Yeah, I'd say there's very few scenarios that we come to the end of the season and we're not looking to bring her into our squad.
Yeah.
She's one of too many talents. So definitely an interesting one there. Switching it up then, we've got the superstars of now that we've been talking about. The next player on your list is one that has been one of the premier players of the competition for such a long time.
And is a player that pretty much every year I've said, isn't this the year that she finally falls off, age catches up with her? It's Emma Carney, one of the greats of the game. And she's missing the early weeks of this year due to a calf injury, so won't be playing in round one. Should hopefully play round two or three, depending on how she pulls up from that. They'll definitely be conservative. They won't want to risk her. But, gee, she's a proven scorer. She averaged 60 last year, but that includes a game where she scored 2 points with her injury, and she was going at 71.6 prior to that injury. And her average has also dropped because the game she came back, she also played 38% time on ground. So, basically, without those injuries, she was going to be a top three scoring defender. Has age caught up with her? She's getting those niggly injuries like the calf ones, but gee, she's a proven scorer when she plays. And at a $777,000 price tag, average of 60, she could actually be a bit of a bargain. Not for our starting teams. I think she's the sort of player that you can wait for her to come back, see how she returns. And if you've got one of your primos that you picked at the start of year who hasn't quite, you know, hit the mark that you were hoping for, might be a nice, easy pivot across to Emma Carney. But I think she's a player that, as long as she stays injury-free, people will be looking to bring into their sides by the end of the year, not dissimilar to Jazz Garner.
No, I completely agree with everything you're saying there. I think that calf injury is definitely something we want to keep an eye out for. on the other side of things, once she gets back, I do like that we're doing a bit of a watch and wait here, because there's another player that we've talked about already that's coming into the side that could be playing in a very similar position.
Yeah. Friend of the pod, Isla Sheeran, one of our faves here, has been a fantasy superstar since day dot. As you said, where does she play? I mean, at the moment, they're missing an incredible rebounding halfback for at least 1 week of the season, and that was where Isla Sheeran made her name. So that could be the immediate role, and even though we would probably like her in the midfield to do those scoring, I think she's the sort of player that will score really well wherever she plays, and North will be very happy to get it in her hands. The biggest problem with Isla Sheeran from a fantasy perspective is that she's listed as mid only. So last year she was the third highest averaging defender, but now drops down in relevancy a little bit because she is a midfielder. Priced at just over $1 million, averaged 79 last year. But I mean, she's increased her average every year and now is joining a team that is an absolute juggernaut. So who knows how she'll go. Last year, she had a delayed start to the season as well. So started slowly and basically finished the year averaging about 88 in that Richmond midfield. So who knows, maybe 79 is actually underpriced for her.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because her scoring as a midfielder really wasn't that much higher than it was as a defender.
Mm.
And we know that North really love to, I suppose, try and push those rotations amongst the midfield to try and keep those players going as at a high rate as much as they can. So if she does end up off half back, could she be spending a little bit more time on ground than she was last year? And I can see her matching it. I don't love the midfield position.
Mm.
It's certainly a big flag you've raised there.
Yeah, it's really the only thing. If she was listed as a defender, I think that she'd be much, much higher in this list probably and in a lot more people's calculations. But I still think there's potentially value there. I will say there's a little bit of an injury watch on her as well. So that's probably as good a reason, if any, to just hold your fire on Isla Sheeran. But we know how good a player she is and there's no reason why she can't come in and average 80 off halfback for North Melbourne just like she did at Richmond.
Yeah, absolutely no doubt there. And finally, Will, we've got a player here who was quite fantasy relevant last season. Are you expecting that Alice O'Loughlin is going to take it to the next level in 2025?
I'm not sure about taking it to the next level, given she was already a pretty high level to begin with. But simply put, Alice O'Loughlin was a picture of consistency in forward lines who were lucky enough to jump on her before her price got too high last year. Averaged 66, priced at 855 this year. I mean, she didn't score below 50 across the home and away season. So I've basically put her here at number five as saying she's a safe pick in your forward line if you want to go that direction. We've talked a lot about the value in the forward line. There's a lot of players that are priced at well below what we think they could average. So I'm not sure if it's a play that I'm particularly interested in, but she's also a player that if she ends up in your team by the end of the year as like a F4 or F5, you'd be very, very happy with her. So I'd expect an average around that 65 once again.
Yeah, no, fair enough. A very reliable player last season. So we'll definitely be taking a close look at it at least at some point throughout the season. Look, I'm also looking at a forward for the Jono special this week, and I think I'm landing on Vicky Wall, who is priced very cheaply for what I think she has the potential to deliver. So a forward priced at $540,000, and you know, after missing season 8 and I guess starting the season before, she's now in her third year of playing AFLW football. I really like that in the off-season she committed to signing a contract up until 2027. To me, that is the sign that she is actually here for the long term for North Melbourne. Those last-minute commitments were giving me a lot of stress, particularly given she tends to rock up just before the season starts due to her Irish Gaelic, you know, commitments. But I'm looking a little bit of her last season last year, and it's the final two games of the year that get me a little bit excited. So in the preliminary final against Port Adelaide and then the grand final against Brisbane, she's put together a 77 and a 79, which is, I think that's really showing how she stands up in those big games, but also showing, you know, this is the capability that she's got against some of the best sides in the competition. You know, she's able to pull together the disposals, keep her tackling pressure high in that forward line, and kick goals, which, you know, throughout the season was something she was doing fairly consistently. But really, I think when she arrives, you know, late in the preseason, it does mean that in those early rounds, you know, she doesn't tend to put together some consistent football. And I think it took her till a few rounds in until she got going last season. I really think that this season, with a little bit more, experience playing the game, she'll hopefully be able to hit the ground running a little bit better. And we could see from that very low starting price point, only averaging about 40, I think she could rise, maybe up to a 55 average this season, hopefully 60 if we're lucky. Well, I don't know. It's definitely going to come with floor scores. I think that's undeniably a risk, but I'm a little bit hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, we seem to talk about Vicky Wall every year because her best is so good and she's such an electric player. And what I do find so fascinating, and you brought it to the fore, is that that's 77 and 79 were her two highest ever scores. And she's done it in two finals. Like, that's incredible. Yeah. And if she carries that along into this coming season, I mean, as you say, Jono, that's value.
Yeah, it's just finding that consistent scoring that you really need from your fantasy players. And I do think that, you know, not being able to start the preseason with the rest of the side is definitely a big red flag on being able to do that early in the season. But, you know, if she comes out early, I'm probably not going to start it, but if she comes out early in those, you know, first couple rounds and she really looks like she's gotten her game going, then I see no reason not to jump on in those early rounds.
Yeah, it could even be one to sort of pivot to make a bit of money later in the season if she starts with a few lower scores as well. So, yeah, I don't mind it. But as I said, we talk about Vicky Wall every year, so hopefully this is the year.
Hopefully this is the one. Well, I think that's going to be a wrap on our club preview series for 2025. All 18 clubs are now 100% out there for everyone to be listening to, which is a very exciting thing. I hope you've enjoyed listening along as we have recording it. It's been absolutely fantastic. But we are now getting close to the real season. So we are now under 1 week from the AFLW beginning. It starts next Thursday. We're only going to have the one more episode coming to you next week for some last-minute tips and advice. If you are listening to this, we're going to have a little question comment thing going. If you have any questions that you want to ask us before the start of the season, get them in there as quick as you can so that we can answer as many questions as you might have before round one gets underway. Otherwise, we're going to see you very, very shortly, and we hope to see you at the footy next week.
Beautiful. Hope you've enjoyed the series.
All right. Catch you later, everyone.